Well, good evening, one and all, if you're joining us from here in East Kilbride, or whether you're in Kilmarnock, or whether you're in Bellishill, a warm welcome to one and all as we get ready for our next study in the New City Catechism. And after some very kind and wonderful weather over this period of lockdown, I think all of us today, in one form or another, get caught in the rain that came on. I actually was out right in the thick of it and get totally and utterly soaked, but I must confess it was actually quite pleasant just to get drenched through in the pouring rain as it came on very, very heavily today. And I don't know if it's been like that in Kilmarnock or in Bells Hill today, but it's certainly been a wet one. But as we gather together this evening, trust that as we gather there'll be a real sense of God's presence meeting with us. I trust that God would delight just to open the heavens and to shower a blessing on us from his word as we continue just to study in the New City Catechism, as we continue to ask questions and then to seek answers to those questions, that we might apply all of that to our lives. Thank you for so many who took the time last week just to comment on how valuable our time was in the New City Catechism, very relevant, very timely in the context in which we found our world, and particularly with all that was going on over in the States. Well, this evening we have arrived at question 12, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray, and then following that prayer we're going to begin our study this evening. So welcome one and all. We trust that you're sitting there in your own home, you're relaxed, trust that you've got a good cup of tea or coffee or something that you can enjoy. And let's just join our hearts together in prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for gathering us together again this evening for another study in our series in the New City Catechism. As we do that, we thank you for Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, Lord, who are the folks behind the New City Catechism. And we do that tonight as we thank you for that great resource. We pray for Tim Keller, for Tim and Kathy Keller. Kathy's so much a part of the writing of the New City Catechism, so much a part of all that's been produced in that context. But we pray tonight for her husband Tim, for Timothy Keller. Father, recently Tim's been diagnosed, as you know, with pancreatic cancer. That's not a surprise to you. And we thank you for the way in which Tim has already very much testified to the fact that you've gone before him in all of this, that this has been identified quickly in a regular checkup with his doctors. They've discovered this. And Father, we just pray for him as he prepares to undergo full chemotherapy treatment. We ask, Lord, that you'd be close to Tim and to Kathy and to their family. We pray, Lord, that you would answer the prayer that he has in his heart, that during the course of his treatment, he'd still be able to write and to encourage and to study and to prepare. And so, Lord, we pray that you would grant that to him, and we pray that it wouldn't be long before Tim would be restored to full health and able to preach and to teach in the many ways in which he has done previously. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for that church. We pray that you be very near to that church. As a church, they gather round their pastor and his wife, and they pray, Lord God, for your grace, for your mercy, as they ask for your healing, because we can as your children, and as they just pray that you would be involved in every aspect of this season that they're about to enter into in their ministry. Father, as we gather together tonight, as congregations joined together, united in the bond of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you would speak to us as we look into the New City Catechism and as we study question 12. Be near to each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the New City Catechism was put together. It came out of the Westminster Confession, the Westminster Catechism, and also the Heidelberg Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism. And Kathy Keller and her husband Tim Keller, that I was praying for there, were really instrumental in bringing the New City Catechism together. And we've been enjoying our studies in that. And this evening, we're going to continue those studies, and we're going to do that as we look at question 12. And again, we'll always give you time to either photograph that, I'm sorry that you'll have my mugshot in the corner there, or to write that down in the book that you're using as you study these things together. But question number 12, we're continuing, as we have been over these last number of Wednesday evenings, looking at the Ten Commandments. And question 12, we look at the final two commandments. What does God require in the ninth and tenth commandments? And so that's the question. What does God require in the ninth and tenth commandments? And we're going to be looking a little bit at that this evening. Again, we remind ourselves that we are only seeking to be obedient to the Ten Commandments according to the power of the Spirit indwelling us, living for the glory of God. We don't obey the commandments in order to put ourselves in a right relationship with God. We are in a right relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But because we're in a right relationship with God through Christ, what we want to do is be those who would obey every word that God has spoken. And so when we look at the commandments and we look at 9 and 10, these are the words of the Lord. And these are words that you and I, as God's people, as Christ followers, should be looking to obey and to put into practice in every aspect of our living. And so we get the question, what does God require in the 9th and 10th commandments? And again, there's always a shorter answer and a longer answer. And the shorter answer is there in orange, and the longer answer is in black. And what I'll do again is I'll bring them both together in a moment so that you can write them down as one, the short answer and the long answer. But the short answer to what does God require in the ninth and tenth commandments is ninth. That we do not lie or deceive. That we do not lie or deceive. So that's the short answer. And the longer answer is really just a little development of that. And again, if you were with us last Wednesday, you remember that I was saying it's not just the negative, we don't do these things, but in actual fact, as the people of God, we do the complete opposite. We do the positive. And so the longer answer is ninth, that we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. That we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. And so there we have the fuller answer to the ninth commandment. Again, give me a little bit of time just to write those things down. But the tenth, the short answer, tenth, that we are content not envying anyone. Tenth, that we are content not envying anyone. And again, just to fill that out a little bit more, just to fill it out a little bit more. Tenth, that we are content not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. And again, it's always important to remember the positive side to these commandments, that we are content not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. And as we unpack these two commandments this evening, we'll see that they're just jam full of very practical encouragements about what it is to live as the people of God, and particularly what it is to live as the people of God in the midst of the society that we live in today. And so there are the two answers together. If you want just to capture that and to write that down, the short answer, ninth, that we do not lie or deceive. Tenth, that we are content not envying anyone. And again, just a fuller answer, ninth, that we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. Tenth, that we are content not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. And again, I'll give you just a few moments to Write that down if you're writing that answer. And I hope that during the course of the studies in the New City Catechism, you have an opportunity just to write these things down, to take notes of them, to go back and to refer to them, because it's a great way of memorising some great biblical truth, some great foundational aspects of our Christian faith. And I know that the website is always worth visiting, the newcitycatechism.com website, always worth visiting. And there's some great additional resources in there that help you just in your studies as you go through that. And it's been wonderful as well that these questions in our catechism we've been able to access at all ages. And so some of our young people have been looking at these questions, thinking about these answers, trying, as it were, to memorise that. Some of them doing that in very creative ways as well. And so we're going to turn our attention this evening to Commandments number 9 and Commandment number 10. And again, just to read that commandment in its original form, because our question and our answer, it really unpack what the verse itself is saying. And I've always been encouraging us when we're looking at God's word to take time to see what the word of God says, to try and understand what it meant for the people and who first heard it, and then to learn what it is to put that into practice in our own lives today. What does that mean for us today, and how can we be obedient to what God has spoken and what God is saying? And so if we look at the original commandments as you find them in Exodus chapter 20 and Exodus chapter in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. And then commandment number 10, you shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbour's. And so when we look at question 9 and commandment 9 and commandment 10, see the first one, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. It's the language of the courtroom. It's the language of testifying. It's the language of what we would say. It's the language of, are we those who swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And then when you look at commandment number 10, the whole business of coveting. Now, again, written as it was to an early agrarian society. They were very much involved in agriculture and in farming. And really, the emphasis here is that you should not covet anything that belongs to your neighbour. And so the neighbour's house, the neighbour's wife, the servants he has, the ox, the donkey. In a short, it's summarised there, anything that is your neighbour's. And sometimes we say to ourselves, well, who is our neighbour? And the reality is we hear the teaching of Jesus as he calls us to love our neighbour as ourselves. In actual fact, last week when we were looking at the New City Catechism, that was the simple challenge, that everything could be summed up in that word of Jesus, that you shall love your neighbour as yourself. So we've not to covet that which belongs to our neighbour, whatever that might be. And so we're going to think a little bit about that. Well, let me just press pause for a moment and give us a little reflection on what it is that we're thinking about this evening when we look at Commandments 9 and 10. When we think about what God requires in Commandment 9 and Commandment 10. And really, on reflection, Commandment 9 is all about a matter of the tongue. What do we say? Are we a person of our word? Are we someone who says what we mean what we say, do what we say? Are we honest? Are we truthful? Are we consistently honest and truthful? Or can we be the kind of folks that are prone to saying one thing to one person and something else to someone else? Are we the kind of person that may say one thing to somebody's face and yet say something else behind their back? Are we the kind of person that's very interested in hearing what the gossip is, in order that we might also use our tongues and use our mouths as those who would want to go and parrot that off? It's a matter of the tongue, and it's also a matter of the heart, because the ninth commandment, which is do not lie but speak the truth in love, is very much a matter of the tongue. What we say with our mouth, guarding our tongue. But the tenth commandment, do not covet that which belongs to someone else, is very much a matter of the heart. And Thahiti Anyabili has got a beautiful little image that he paints of the heart. He said, if you imagine, using your imagination, if you imagine your heart, as it were, having little hands, and really, the tenth commandment is about a heart that wants to grab hold of, that wants to grasp that which is not theirs. And what he says is a matter of the heart. When the heart wants to grasp hold of things that are not ours. And of course, the interesting thing is Jesus, you remember when he was teaching in the Ten Commandments, lifted the bar in all of it. And he said, it's not just about the things you do, but it's also about the things you think. And sometimes when it comes to the coveting, we might not actually reach out and take, but in actual fact, the desire is there. There's a desire within us to have what someone else has. And it affects us in so many simple ways, and yet they can become very sinful ways. You know, we've got a roof over our own head, but we look at the other house, and we almost lose the gratitude of what we've got as we begin to desire that other house. It's bigger, it's better, it's nicer, it's in a better location, or whatever it might be. And we can do the same with all manner of things. We can do the same with, you know, cars. We can do the same with all manner of stuff. And of course, we live in a society that wants to feed that aspect of us that desires more than what we actually have, that robs us of the gratitude that's there. So a matter of the tongue and a matter of the heart. And in essence, there are two little words that it's great to have in your mind this evening as we think about what God requires in the ninth and tenth commandment. And the first is truth in relation to commandment number nine. And the second is contentment in relation to commandment number 10. Truth and contentment. And, you know, the reality is you and I, as the people of God, called to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth and the life. As followers of Christ, you and I should be a people who are marked, who are shaped, who are characterized by the truth of God, not just a knowledge of it, but it working its way out in all of our lives, in order that in everything we say and in all that we do, we're characterized by this truth and by contentment. So as we unpack a little bit more these two commandments tonight, try and have those two words in your head and not far from your mind, truth and contentment. We're going to think a little bit about that, about each of them in turn this evening. So we go back to the commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. And we think about the answer that we have to the question, what does God require with regard to the ninth commandment? Ninth, that we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. That we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. Now, I said in my little reminder email today, it's been a busy day, so my apologies that it came quite late in the day for you. But I said about the book of James when I wrote that little text from James, not this one, but the one from James chapter 4. I said that I often find James uncomfortably practical when I read the letter. And there are so many things that he just says, almost as it were, bluntly. But there's absolute truth, but there's a love, there's a desire in there for encouraging you and I to be the very best that we can be for the glory of God. And in James chapter 3, there's a wonderful little passage in there about trying to tame the tongue. Now, let me encourage you to read all of that, if you can. What I've done at the moment is just put up verses 9 and 10 of James chapter 3. But you can do this in your own time. You can go back and look at James chapter 3 in that little section. James is speaking about the tongue. And he says, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. As I said, there's an uncomfortable honesty in what James says. Is it not the case that you and I are easily capable of joining in with the people of God in singing his praises, in lifting up our voices to extol the God of heaven, and yet to then, almost as it were, unthinkingly, you know, curse someone? Now, I don't mean simply using curse in the sense of a swear word, but just to say that, which it's inappropriate, it's not right. We may speak it out, we may write it in some social media platform, we might, you know, make a comment, an offhand comment about something. But James, speaking about the tongue, says, you know, we are not to lie and we are not to deceive, you know, in obedience to the commandment of God. And yet we're capable, with this little instrument in our mouth, of blessing and of curse. We're capable of doing the right thing and of saying the wrong thing. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. And really what he's saying is that the people of God should be a people who are consistent in their use of words. They should be consistent in what they say. They should be known for those who do not lie. They should be known as those who will never speak deceitfully. And when we do speak the truth, we should speak it in love. And again, this is a little recurring theme over the past number of weeks, that we can say what our thought or what our view or what our opinion is, but we should do that in a loving way. We should remember that we're speaking to a person, or about a person, who is made in the image of God. And we should remember that that person, in particular if that person is an unbeliever, their greatest need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be viewing them through their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be seeking, as it were, to win them towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the people of God should never be those who speak lies and who speak deceit. And we all know that that is something that it's easy to do. You know, the devil is the father of liars, and you and I are born in sin, and so all of us are very, very capable of lying and deceiving. All of us are very, very capable of bending the truth. All of us are very capable of making the information paint ourselves in a good light and yet perhaps paint someone else in a bad light. All of us are very capable of that. And God in Christ cleanses you and I, the liars, the deceivers that we are. And he makes us part of his family. He makes us sons and daughters of the living God. And he endows us, the Holy Spirit of God endows and fills us in order that he might work out the character of Christ in us, and we might become known as those who do not lie, who do not deceive, who always speak the truth. And even when we speak, and even when we have to say difficult things, we will say that in love. And we will say that seeing others as those who are made in the image of God. Man is made in the image of God, even if he's not walking in obedience to God. And so we want to think just a little bit about how we use our words. And I want to take that simple little word, think, to help us in our understanding. J. John, who wrote a fascinating book on the Ten Commandments, J. John, an evangelist based down south, used to be the Philo Trust. J. John, the privilege of working with J. John many, many years ago when we were both involved in itinerant evangelism. And in his little book, he draws out this little breakdown of the word think, T-H-I-N-K, and gives us a little word just to hang from each letter of the word think. And I've found it helpful in terms of the use of the tongue, in terms of what we're going to say. And the first one is simply this: is it true? You see, as the people of God, we should never be speaking that which is not true. And we should not be speaking that which is simply hearsay. You know, because the reality of this using of our tongue and this not lying and deceiving, gossip's a terrible deceiver. And so the reality is it true? What I'm about to say, is it true? What I'm about to share, is it true? And if it's not true, then it ought not to be found on the lips of a believer. It ought not to be something that we should be speaking. It ought not to be something that we should be saying. And not only is it true, because sometimes it can be absolutely true, but this second little word in think, T-H, is will it help? You know, sometimes we can just state our view or opinion because we just want to state our view or state our opinion. But will it help? Will it really help those that are hearing it? Or those who are reading it? Or those who are receiving it? Will it be a help to them? Will it be an encouragement to them? Will it come as water to, you know, a thirsty soul? Is it something that would really be useful to them in the course of all that they're seeking to do that day? And then is it inspiring? Now, it's not that everything that we say is always going to be, you know, a kind of inspirational lesson for everyone to learn from. But there is a sense in which something which is inspiring is usually always an encouragement. It's usually always designed to benefit, to bless the other person. Not to pull them down, not to curse them, not to, make light of them. The reality is we're thinking about people made in the image of God. Is it inspiring? And then the end, is it necessary? You know, sometimes we speak words, don't we? And they were unnecessary words. Often they've been unkind words as well, and we'll come to that in a moment or two, but they've been unnecessary at best. But when we've spoken them, the one thing we all know is that we cannot take them back. They're out there. Sometimes what we've got to ask ourselves is, what I'm about to say necessary? Now, there will be times again when it is necessary. And again, we remind ourselves, speak the truth in love. You see, the Bible, time and time again, will discipline us. You know, God speaks words of discipline to his children because he loves us. There are times when those of us who are parents, know what that is like, when we've got to speak a word of discipline. It's necessary. And we do it because we love our children. And we don't want them to be shaped in a way that's not helpful, in a way that's going to impact negatively upon them and upon other people as they go through life. And then K is it kind? Is it kind? Because sometimes we can have something to say, but in truth, if we say it, it's not going to be steeped in the loving kindness of God. When we think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, just to give you all nine, but is it kind? And it's just a little helpful framework of thinking about what we're saying. Is it true? Will it help? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? What does God require in the ninth commandment? That we do not lie or deceive, but we speak the truth in love. Well, the tenth commandment in the original, in Exodus chapter 20 and in Exodus chapter 5. That's wrong. Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Done that twice tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says this: you shall not covet your neighbour's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbour's. And our answer to the question, tenth, that we are content not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. Beautiful little play in the words there in that answer, that we are content. Now, I love the fact that it begins with that we are content. Paul writing to Timothy, as it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. If you and I are genuinely in a place of contentment, that is, we understand that life is not about things, it's about relationship. A relationship first and foremost with God. The commandments are all about that, a relationship with God and a relationship with one another. If we are content, then the reality is we're not going to fall foul of this Ten Commandment. We're not going to be envious of anyone, or we're not going to be envious of anything that someone else has. And it's interesting, you know, the thou shalt not covet was, of course, the great commandment that, you know, tripped up the Apostle Paul so many times. Envying someone else in terms of who they are as a person, or envying what they have. And the interesting thing about this is contentment will stop us from doing these things. Discontent will have us envying or even resenting the fact that they have and we don't have. You know, sometimes we can look at some of the silly salaries that are paid to people in very prominent positions, disproportionate to what it is they do for the salary. As many of you know, I'm involved in the world of football, but the world of football that I'm involved in is very low league football. But when I look at the money that some of the high, you know, top quality players are paid, I do think it's immoral and obscene. But I've got to be careful to check myself that it's not just that I'm resenting the fact that they have that amount of money and I don't. Because we can all have a heart that is easily deceived. And some of our, you know, sort of tirades against those who have what we don't have can actually flow out of a heart that's kind of bitter and twisted in the light of what they have. So that we are content not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. Now, there's an interesting little thing as well. Every good and precious gift comes from God above. So what others have, we've got to acknowledge is God-given. And we can actually get into a place where we can resent what God has given to someone else. That can be anything. That can be how they look, or where they live, or what they do, or their personality, or whatever it might be. We can just fall into the trap. And we fail to realize who God has made us to be, filled with gratitude for the person God has made me to be. made you to be. Filled with gratitude for the people that God has put in our lives. Filled with gratitude for the things that God has given us. Just the everyday things. Overwhelmed with amazement at the generosity of God. You know, Linda and I, over many years, have known the provision of God time and time again. We count it all joy that there are times in our Christian ministry when we literally had no food in the cupboard, and then just when we wonder what we're going to eat, some miracle of God's grace happened. And I remember when the children were young and I was studying at college, we had serious flood damage between our flat and the flat down below, and we had to get it paid for, and we had no money. And the incredible thing is that we agreed to get the work done, and the work got done, and the bill came in on a Friday, and we had no money to pay that bill. But on Saturday, an envelope came in, and it had a cheque in it as a gift to our children to give to mum and dad, because some friends knew there was work being done. And then somebody came to the door with some cash because they'd just seen some builders going in and out of our house. And then on the Sunday, I'd been preaching in a church, and two members of the congregation just come up randomly and shook my hand and said, "I don't know why, but the Lord wants you to have this," and put some cash in my hand. And by the time we sat down on Sunday night, we had exactly the amount of money needed to pay the bill. Now, why did I tell that story? I tell that story because God calls us to a place of contentment in Christ. Trust in Him that He knows us intimately in such a way. He doesn't want to just bless us with all of our wants, but He will always meet our needs. Paul knew a great deal about this in writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, 11 and 13. He says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me," is what he goes on to say in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, the one who gives me strength. And the 10th commandment says, do not covet, but, you know, don't envy or resent, you know, what God has given to someone else, implying that He ought to have given that to you. Now, we live in a world where it's difficult to not covet, because we live in a world where the advertising industry is a multi-billion pound industry, multi-billion pound industry. And what is the whole aim of the advertising industry? It's to let you and I know that what you have is not enough, what you have is not sufficient, that even if you're sitting in a home, you need a better one, that even if you're driving a car, you need a different one. And of course, it's all branded with that beautiful badge that, you know, will mean so much more. We are bombarded day in and day out with a desire to be discontent with what we have, rather than to be content with what we have and to enjoy all that God has given. And the 10th commandment is just a little reminder, you know, check the heart. Make sure that you're not coveting things that you want to have in order that, you know, you think it would bring you fulfillment. See, the reality of the Christian faith is we find our perfect fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, once we have God, we have everything. And yet we live in a world that says you need this, you need that, you need the next thing. And we can very quickly buy into that lie and go chasing after things that somehow or other they might satisfy us. And yet the truth is they don't satisfy. Because very quickly we want the newer model, or we want the upgrade, or we want the next best thing. It's interesting that those who have been millionaires and billionaires in the past, time and time again, when they've been asked that question, how much is enough, they always say just a little bit more. It is built into that sinful part of our humanity, covetousness, the desire to own, to possess, to have what someone else has, because really underlying it, there's a little thought that if I just had that, I'd be happier, I'd be more fulfilled. In actual fact, with great wealth, there is great responsibility, and the more we have, the more responsible we are before God for using that for His glory. And with everything that God gives, there's a sense in which He gives it in order that we might use that in a way that would magnify and glorify Him. I think it was Schweitzer who said, you know, you don't possess anything unless you could seriously give it away, because if you can't give it away, it possesses you. So it's an interesting way to look at our possessions, isn't it? That we don't allow our possessions to possess us. That in actual fact, we learn what it is to understand what really matters in this life, that relationship with God, that relationship that we're in to other people, looking to bless them. And Paul said that he'd learned the secret of contentment. He knew what it was to have plenty, and he knew what it was at times to have nothing. But in all of that, he was fine because of God who strengthened him. What it is to be in a place of contentment. What it is to live from a place where we're fully satisfied with the relationship with us with Christ. Everything that God gives, we appreciate as a blessing from Him, and we want to use that for His glory. Contentment. Of course, the opposite is discontent. And discontent leads to covetousness and envy and a striving after. And the original commandment, of course, speaks about just anything that someone else has. But it can be who they are, what they do, their position. It can be, you know, something that they own, something that they have that you don't have, in simple ways. And really, it's a matter of the heart. Going back to check our hearts and to make sure that we're not desiring something else other than God as the thing that would fulfill us. There's a very real sense in which sometimes we can just pursue all manner of other things rather than God Himself, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find satisfaction. And it's not that some of the things we might go after are necessarily wrong in themselves, because in a God-given context they can be good. But it's just the place they have in our heart. Out of the heart comes who we are. Are we those who speak truth and love? Are we those who are content and very grateful to God for all that He has given, the wonderful gift of family, of friends, of the home we're in, of the church we're a part of the place where He has put us. Looking to Him to be the one who would strengthen us and who would meet all of our needs. That little passage I said in James, you have not because you ask not. It's not about just wanting all the things that our little heart would want to grab. It is instead about wanting everything that would glorify God. And so learning what it is just to live lives of godliness and contentment. The question as we draw things to a close this evening, what does God require in the 9th and 10th commandments? What does God require in the 9th and 10th commandments? And the answer, 9th, that we do not lie or deceive. 10th, that we are content, not envying anyone. 9th, that we do not lie or deceive, but speak the truth in love. 10th, that we are content, not envying anyone or resenting what God has given them or us. And don't forget that little part, you know. You sit there thinking, God has given me this, but I'd rather have that. Where's the gratitude? We serve the most amazing God. Can any of us keep all these commandments? Can any of us glorify God in a perfect way? Well, that's something that we're going to start to think about next week when Thomas will be sharing with us in the New City Catechism. But let's join our hearts together in prayer this evening as we draw this to a close. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that you've poured into our hearts and life. We especially thank you for the gift of life itself, and particularly for the gift of salvation, eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that you've made us citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and that we are a people who are passing through this world, heading for the full inheritance of all the saints of God. Help us, Lord, never to lose sight of that. And help us, Lord, because we are those who are following Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, to be those who would speak your truth in love, who would not want to enter into gossip, who would not want to lie or deceive, who would be those who would think before we speak, asking ourselves the question, is it true, is it helpful? Will it inspire? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Help us, Lord God, also to be those who are very grateful for all that you have given, who learn what it is to be content, who know what it is to be strengthened in our Lord Jesus Christ day by day, to pray, give us this day our daily bread, that which we need, rather than to pray, give us all that we want. Because sometimes we confess, Lord, we realize that our hearts often want that which is not helpful for us. So move amongst us, we pray. Be near to each one in their own homes this night. Bless them. Be near to them. Give them your peace. Father, may godliness with contentment shape our hearts, shape our lives. And may we all together honour and glorify you in all things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to be together this evening. I trust that what we've shared has been helpful. And join with us again this coming Sunday morning, when we'll be live streaming at 10:30 again. We'll have a pre-service praise list and a post-service praise list to enjoy. And a little reminder that if you're listening in tonight and perhaps you're not a Christian yet, but you've been thinking about the Christian faith and wanting to explore that, then we're going to be running via Zoom a Christianity Explored course. It's a course that just allows us to look at the basics of the Christian faith, what it is to be a Christian, what it is to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're interested in that, you can email us info@calderwoodbaptist.co.uk, info@calderwoodbaptist.co.uk, if you're interested in coming along on our Christianity Explored course. It will probably start in the last week in June. That's open to anyone, whether you be in East Kilbride, Bells Hill or Kilmarnock. We thank you for being with us tonight. The Lord bless you, and take care, stay safe. God bless.